Hey folks, this is Jesse Cope back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are, whatever part of the day you're in. I sure do appreciate you joining me, giving me a little bit of your time and energy, a little piece of your day. For those of y'all that continue to come back episode after episode, I'm glad you're here. Hope it gives you something to talk about with somebody. Friends, family, spouse, children, parents, co-workers maybe. Hopefully you get something out of it and gain a little bit that will help us, help our country, that will draw us a little closer to God and Jesus Christ. Homestead, we have gotten some stuff done, but it escapes me right now. Eldest got some work done in the garden. Got a little bit done with the ducks, the duck coop. But it's been raining again, pretty wet. And thank you, Lord, because we all know in this part of the world that it's only a matter of time before the rain stops. And everything looks all green and lush right now, but that won't last. So take it while we can get it. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love and your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness. Thank you that we can come to you in our doubts and our fears, our anxieties, and know that you understand, know that you love us. Despite our failings, know that you're there and that we can trust you with our souls, not because of some feeling or some emotional response, but because your word tells us we can, because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Guide us through the dark times, Father. Guide us through the valleys. Help us to do your will. Bring us home to you one day. And guide my words here, Father, please. In your Son's name we pray. So, I've got quite a few quotes. Kind of all cobbled together. And I think this will set the stage for it. Perhaps. We'll find out. If you haven't joined us on the podcast before, every so often I talk about the Epoch Times, which is a newspaper. Best one I've found in a long time. If you like newspapers, if you're looking for something to read, I highly recommend it. It's got news. Obviously, it's got an opinion section. It's got a kids section in here with crossword puzzles and comics, a page of that, some Sudoku, however you say it. I don't know. A lot of interesting stories. It's got, usually have a, has an article or two on art and architecture, history, family life. It's a great newspaper. If you have a chance and you're interested in newspapers, I would highly recommend checking it out. One of the things that it has, I thought I was going to get a chance to put some of this on, Twitter or X, but I haven't done it. And so I'm going to read a little bit here in this podcast. Just some kind of highlights that I thought were pretty interesting. $300 million. That's the amount of money that the Department of Homeland Security has announced it's going to distribute in grants to sanctuary cities in order to provide services to illegal immigrants through its Shelter and Services program. $300 million. That's the fact part of it, right? One thing that the Epoch Times does pretty well is, and a lot of they're not perfect, but their news stories really are just news. It's just information. They interview people and put their those people's opinion in here, but the news is just the news. So that's the fact part, right? My little add-on to that is we don't have money to finish the border wall or hire border patrol agents. We don't have money to deport these criminals out of our country who are raping, pillaging, plundering, who are all, every single one of them is stealing resources and representation away from law-abiding American citizens. And you could take this a lot of other directions too. We don't have money to care for our homeless veterans who have risked, and in many cases, given life and limb or their families. But we have $300 million to give to criminals to take away from American citizens to give to criminals and terrorists. Report out of the Federal Reserve shows that credit card delinquencies are at or near a record high. The number of credit card accounts with past due payments has reached all-time highs at every time horizon, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and I'm sure more than that. This is out of the Federal Reserve, or data from the Federal Reserve in the fourth quarter of 2023. The number of accounts, the share of accounts making the minimum payment has risen and is also hitting a record high. You look around, folks, my wife and I talk about this often. Most Americans are wealthy by worldly standards, by the rest of the world's standards. And you could certainly say that about us. We're not necessarily wealthy relative to American standards. But we have good food to eat. We have a little bit of space that God has blessed us with. We have clean water to drink. We have clothes to wear, whether it's hot or cold. And so God has blessed us with a huge amount relative to just untold billions around the world in the last century for sure, especially when you start throwing in war times and what people had to go through then. Might help to remember that every once in a while, folks. When you start to find yourself complaining about what you don't have, I don't do a very good job of this, I'll be honest. Not that I normally lie, but that's what my father-in-law always said. He said, if I was honest, and he always kind of cracks a smile and looks at you and says, because the rest of the time you lie, it's just kind of funny. But I don't do a great job of this. But we would be a lot better off if we would take account of our blessings as often as we take account of the things that we don't have. I know I would. But so getting back to this credit card, my wife and I look around often. We're not rich, but we do fine. But it's gotten tough to make ends meet some months. Really, for quite a few months for the last out of the last 18 months. And it's not that we're making less money. Now we actually are making a little bit more money now than we were a year and a half ago. And yet it doesn't seem to go as far. We seem tighter when we get to the end of each month than we were 18 months ago, yet we're making more literal dollars. We have more dollars coming in, but we have less staying, if you will. They just kind of disappear. My wife looks up every once in a while and goes, "You hear that sucking sound? That's all the money leaving." And it's not like we haven't added anything new in the last 2 years. No new car payments, no new loans. Actually got rid of one. So actually, we've lowered our debt, haven't added any new debt, and we're still closer together each month than we were. And I've wondered how a lot of people are making ends meet that don't make as much as we do, because there's a number of people in America that don't, especially those that have to pay taxes. Not the ones that just take money out of the treasury, but the ones that are actually putting money in that the government's taking from them to give to other people. I've wondered how they're making ends meet at, for example, the grocery store. And my father has told me for a long time, both of my fathers have actually, that a lot of people are living on credit cards. And it seems that way from this data out of the end of last year. That's really dangerous, folks. That's a dangerous place to be in. That's especially dangerous when you look at the fact, you go back to the first comment, $300 million that we're giving away to criminals. There's a proverb in the Bible that talks about not becoming a slave to the lender, that the borrower is always a slave to the lender. If you get a chance, if there's any way you can get rid of the debt you have, folks, I would highly recommend it. We're working on it ourselves, because I think a time is coming very quickly when that's going to be a very heavy burden, heavier than it is now than we think it is. Another little real interesting story out of this. This is out of their section called Weak and Brief. I thought that this was fascinating. New York sees a rise in a disease caused by rat urine. I know that's not something we normally talk about here on the podcast, but you have to wonder, considering the city, considering the politics and the policies, it really ties into the illegal immigration thing again. How much of that is being brought in? How many Americans are being put at risk health-wise because of illegal immigrants, or really just because of people in general that hate our country? You look at the protests, the Gaza protests over the last couple of weeks. At one point, they were shutting down some bridges, a couple major thoroughfares across the country, and people couldn't get to work, couldn't get to the hospital, couldn't get to the airport for hours and hours. And you just wonder how much of this problem in New York, and just how many problems across the country we have where American citizens are being hurt kind of in a secondary manner almost, right? It's the side effects of the liberal policies. It's not even the major effect of the policy. It's the side effects hurting American citizens. Thought this one was pretty important too, and we'll move on, I promise. I know I've taken up most of the podcast, but great newspaper if you get a chance. I'm gonna read one more and we'll move on. Maine has passed, the governor signed it. House passed it by a real slim margin, and the Senate did too by a pretty slim margin, that their electoral college votes will now go to the winner of the national popular vote, as opposed to the current system where the votes go either to the winner of the state's popular vote or according to the results in each congressional district. This actually ties in really well to our quotes for today. Our founders were rightly terrified of mob democracy. The difference between what happened in our revolution and when you go to that kind of mob mentality, you can look at the French Reign of Terror and their revolution that occurred shortly after ours, and you see what mob democracy does. This is a really unpopular fact today, but our republic was never set up to be a democracy. We were never set up for every single person to be able to vote. Voting was never intended to be a universal right. You can make the argument that our founders set it up incorrectly, and I don't have any problem with that. I would agree with that. The fact that you couldn't vote based on skin color certainly was a huge Achilles heel. But the fact that they set it up where voting was not a universal right, that's not a weakness, that's a strength. And so we're going to talk about some quotes of our founders because we have bought into, because we do such a poor job educating today our children, we've bought into this idea that our founders wanted democracy. We've even got, there's some great quotes that I've read in here where we have some presidents that have talked about how wonderful democracy is. And in their case, I think what they really meant is our republic, the way it's set up, they might have meant democracy. But that's the problem, folks, words. And I am pretty bad at this. I actually had somebody get on to me about this recently, and rightfully so. Words are so important. What we say, our actions are far more important. What we do is what really matters. But our words are important, folks. It's important when you're discussing things to use words wisely. My mother used to say that once you say something, it's out there forever. You can't take it back. And maybe this generation has a better understanding of that because of social media than we did. Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution requires that the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. If our founders had known what we were going to do, they would have set a Christian republican form of government, not just a republican form of government. But they had no idea what we were going to twist with separation of church and state. James Madison. Democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have, in general, been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths. Our founders knew that democracies were violent, they were chaotic. They bred disruption and chaos, not law and order and peace. And they knew that your security in your own home, your rights to property, your real rights, not the rights that we make up today, so often, we're at risk in a democracy. That they weren't compatible, as Madison says here, they were incompatible with personal security or the rights of property. Look what happens, folks. It really is the mob mentality. You talk about dogs in a pack will often do things together that dogs alone won't do. And you look at what people do. Black Friday, right? That's a great example. Look at how people act on Black Friday often in shopping centers across the country. And you can make the argument that we're just doing that more and more, but We act like idiots in a mob. And we just feed on each other. And we don't care what we destroy or what we steal or who we hurt. A lot of times we don't even know what we're doing. We're just going along with the group. Look at the protesters for Palestine, whatever, Gaza, the Muslims. A lot of these students on these college Ivy League campuses that are supposed to be elite schools educating our children, the best of the best. And they're interviewed, a lot of them. What are you doing? I don't know. I don't know why we're here. We're just here, but we're fighting. What are you fighting for? I don't know. Death to America. We were never meant to be a democracy. God bless y'all. God bless your families. God bless your marriages. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks. Looking forward to it.